You can be opening your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12. We'll be spending our time looking at the context there, starting with verse 22. We do have visitors with us tonight. We are thankful that you're here. We're glad that you were able to come out and worship the Lord with us. Hope every opportunity you have, you can come and worship with us here at Jordan Park. We do have a lot of folks who apparently are not feeling too good today, so keep them in your prayers, but thankful that we can be here, and hopefully we will avoid all of those. Well, many of us have already suffered through those, so maybe that's all in the background for all of us, hopefully. We've sung a lot here tonight about God's care for us and the repose, the rest we can have, our anxieties as we think about God's love for us. With the number of songs that we have written, it is obvious that that's difficult, that we struggle with that. With the apostles worrying about things, even when the Lord was right with them. When we look out into the world, we see there's an industry that is built around dealing with anxiety, the number of doctors and counselors and even medicines that can help with people and can bring a degree of help with people who are dealing with worry and anxiety. There is no magic pill that gets rid of it. Sometimes we are going to struggle with that throughout all of our life, and it's going to be something that we have to constantly look to answers in order to deal with at various times in our lives. And it's really a wonderful thing that we have Jesus who talks about dealing with anxiety on a variety of cases. And we're really going to look at, focus in on one context tonight here in Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor the body, what you will put on." When he says don't worry or don't be careful or don't have anxiety, he's not talking about being prudent. He's not talking about being wise. He's not talking about having some forethought and preparing for the potential bad things that will happen in life. He's not saying to go to the opposite extreme and have a thoughtless life, life where there is no planning whatsoever, where we just take life and run into all kinds of problems because of that. He's talking about the careful or being so full of care, so full of concern, so full of anxiety that it becomes a distraction of life. So full of anxiety that we don't live life, because we're so concerned about the what-ifs of life. So Jesus doesn't only tell us don't be anxious, don't worry about things. He also gives us some practical ways that we can deal with it. And so in this lesson, we're going to be looking at several things where he begins by saying, consider this, consider this, consider this other. He is not approaching it from an emotional standpoint. He's not saying, let me give you something that's going to help your emotion. What he does is he helps us with our mind. He helps us with our logic. He helps us to reason through things. Because the way we live our lives, I think if we're wise, is that our logic helps dictate our emotions rather than our emotions dictating our logic. And so Jesus is going to give us some tools that we can use to help us with our logic, to help us with our reason, and hopefully then that will help us with our emotion, with the anxiety that we struggle with many times. So the first one I think Jesus deals with or helps us with is consider the importance of what you are being concerned about. He says in 22 and 23, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry." Now, he's going to tell us specific things not to worry about. He says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on." Life is more than food, And the body is more than clothing. He's specifically talking about the fundamentals, the essentials of life, the what we have to eat and what we put on, and perhaps the shelter that we have. And, you know, we today, I think, don't worry so much about whether or not we're going to have clothes. Our worry is more, what's the tag going to say on our clothes? We're not worried about, am I going to have something to eat? We're more worried about whether I can go out to eat more frequently. We're not really worried about whether I'm going to have a shelter, whether or not I have a place to live. We're more worried about, do I have enough square footage to put all my stuff in which to live? Is that really what we should be worried about in life? Those things that are really the basic things of life, but are not the most important things of life. And the problem is, for the Christian, if we get so focused on those things, then it saps our energy for what life is all about, and that is living for the Lord. You know, in this context here, in Luke chapter 12, we'll start reading in verse 13, there was an incident that perhaps precipitates this discussion that Jesus has about anxiety. He says, one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Covetousness is that attitude of mind that is seeking after things to an obsession, wanting stuff to the distraction of life. He says, beware of covetousness. He says, for, here's his principle, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. If you want the definition of life, it is not in stuff. But unfortunately, sometimes that's what we worry about, is the stuff. And Jesus is trying to help us to change the way that we think. You know, Solomon had this problem, did he not? Solomon acquired more and more things, not just the basic necessities of life. I mean, he had the biggest barns. He had huge barns. And he says, "I'm empty. I've got all of this stuff, and it's all vanity. There's no substance there." And so he ends the book of Ecclesiastes by saying, listen, let me tell you the end of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is what life is all about. It's serving God, it's fearing God, keeping the commandments, not accumulating all of the things of this life. So what is life made of? What is it that our focus should be in? Isn't it our relationship with God and where we're going to spend eternity? Isn't it on what is the truth? And how can I stand for what is good and what is righteous and what is wholesome? Isn't it, how can I serve my brethren? Because we are the family of God. We are a spiritual family. We're trying to help each other get to heaven. Isn't it, with my physical family, my wife or my husband, my mom and my dad, my children, how is it that we can work together in a positive way? Isn't it the growth that I have in my life as a person and as a child of God? Those are things that really are the focus of life. Not food. Not clothing. Not the shelter that is over our head. It's really the key that Jesus, I think, is trying to get it at, if we wanted to summarize it in one word, is perspective. What is really important in life? And it is the things of God as opposed to the things of this world. So, his point is, consider what you're worried about, and if it's all about the stuff, quit doing that. Consider the things of much greater value than that. Second point that he makes is, consider, think about, think through, rationalize your value, God's care for us. In verse 24, he says, consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which they have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? You take these ravens, or maybe in our culture around us is more these blackbirds. I haven't really seen them so much in the last couple of years. Maybe something, I'm not sure what happened to them. Maybe I just don't see them. But we used to have them at certain times all around the building here. You know, there would be hundreds or thousands of them. And they'd be chattering and chattering and chattering and chattering and chattering. And then they would fly over here and they would chatter and they chatter. And then they fly over here and they chatter and chatter. I don't know. Maybe you can explain where they've all been. But have you ever seen one open up a bank account? Have you ever seen one building a barn? Have you ever seen one sitting on the branch worried about what they're going to eat tomorrow? They don't have any storehouse. They don't have any bank account. They don't have any worry. And they do just fine. They go through their life cycle. They live and they die and they eat because God makes sure that He, in His providence, provides for them. Do we not have more value than they? If God provided for them, does He not provide for us? And we do have the ability to sow. We do have the ability to build storehouses. We do have the ability to have bank accounts. We do have the ability to provide for ourselves on a regular basis, continually, to provide for the future. So why are we worried? Jesus says, are you not much more of more value? Now, I don't think that He's saying that we should live a totally carefree life because, you know, the raven does have to scurry around for food. He has to look for food. He has to watch out for cats because there are dangers out there. So we can't just sit there with our mouth open and wait for God to drop food into our mouths. We have to be industrious. We have to work and to sow so that we can be taken care of. But what Jesus is telling us not to do is to be consumed with care. Why? Because God cares for you. And these trivial things of life, your food and your clothing and your shelter, He'll make sure that you have the necessities of life. Of course, I guess maybe there's the rub. Sometimes we don't want just the necessities of life. We want more than that. But is that not what Jesus is trying to help us to see? He also talks about, verse 27, He starts again with the word consider. Think about. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? So He switches the emphasis. He talks about the raven when He's talking about food, but He talks about the lily of the field when He talks about the clothing. And in the land of Palestine, they had several different varieties of lilies, but it really doesn't matter which one He's talking about because those lilies are all very beautiful. And they're all very beautiful, not because of what they do to themselves, but because of what God has clothed them with. The point of Jesus is, are you not much more value than those lilies of the field? In fact, He kind of goes negative here with us, does He not? When He ends with this question, He says, are you not, how much more do they clothe you, O you of little faith? It is a reflection of our trust in God. When we are filled with anxiety, when we're filled with care about the clothing that we put on. And He talks about the contrast between the value when He says that the grass is clothed, but it is thrown into the oven at the end of the season. We will not be thrown into the oven, for we have an eternal destiny, and we can spend it with God in all eternity. We must learn to trust God. Trust God because we are of more value than the things of this world that God cares for, and we see that. Jesus also says, consider the fact that many of the things that you are concerned about, you really can't change. You are really powerless in those things to change them. Let's look at a couple of verses in between the ravens and the lilies, verse 25 and 26, where He says, and which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Now, there's nothing wrong with us being concerned about the things that might happen in this life. But the point of Jesus is, when we are considering all of the what-ifs of life, consider what real changes we can make in life. For example, the coronavirus. There is the possibility that this pandemic is going to sweep across the United States. And this is going to be a virus that causes a lot of harm and even may cause some deaths in the United States. So, let's think about it. Let's just decide that tomorrow we're going to worry about it all day. All of us here will worry about it all day long. We'll just sit there. Let's just decide. We're going to sit in a chair and we're going to worry about it all day long. And at the end of the day, what will it do? What will it do? Absolutely nothing. Now, we do need to be prudent. We can wash our hands and we can do the little things that we can do. But the fact is, if it comes and it kills a lot of people in the United States, it's going to come and kill a lot of people in the United States, whether we worried about it or not. Or if it's not going to come, whether we worried about it or not, it's not going to have that big of effect. I mean, what can we really change about the things that we worry about is what Jesus says. And when you consider that, then that will help us to lower the anxiety that is here. But you know, unfortunately, we have a 24-hour news cycle, and we are constantly being bombarded, not with the pleasant things of life, not with the positive things of life, but the problems of life and the potential difficulties of life. And we see the hurricanes, and we see the tornadoes, and we see the floods, and we see the droughts, and we see the falling stock market, and we see the terrorists, and we see invasions, we see the potential of nuclear accidents, we see economic slumps, we see corrupt governments, we see the potential of hyperinflation. And that's just a small listing of all of the things that we can worry about. I mean, there are big things that we can worry about that you see, the commercials. You've got your breath you need to be worried about, and you've got plaque that you need to be worried about, and you've got bugs that you need to be worried about, and you might have a crack in your foundation that you need to be worried about. And, I mean, there are just a list a mile long that you need to worry about. And we need to do the best we can. But the fact is, we cannot change those things by worry. So what we do is we do the best we can with the difficulties as they come, and we put the rest in the hands of God. And it will help us to lower our anxiety. Jesus is trying to help us to reason through this, to think through this, to lower the level of anxiety in our lives that we struggle with all at times. Another thing that he says is consider what it is that you're seeking. Consider the priorities that you have in life. Verse 29, he specifically says, "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you." Jesus wants us to have the number one priority in life to go to heaven. And the fact is, when you look around at the world doesn't have that as the number one priority of life. And because they don't have that as the number one priority of life, they have the things of this life as the number one priority. And therefore, they spend their days and many times their nights working feverishly in order to accomplish and to amass the things of this world, things that are transient and things that are so uncertain and things that bring about so much insecurity. But Jesus says our mindset is to be different than that. Our priorities are to be different than that. And you know, if you think about it, if our focus of life is on the gaining of things and the getting of more money, and making more money with the economy the way that it is, and amassing more and more things. That there are so many things that could go wrong with that. There's so much instability with that, it necessarily causes more anxiety. But if our thoughts and our focus, our desire is to go to heaven when we die, heaven's not going anywhere. If it is standing for the truth doesn't change. If it is seeking after a relationship with the Lord doesn't change. The things that God gives us to seek after are things that are stable, are things that are strong, are things that are like concrete, they're like a rock that we can build our house upon, that we can have security with. The things of God, by their very nature, bring peace of mind to our lives rather than anxiety and instability within our lives. Let me ask you a few questions here. What is our emphasis in life? How would you register on a scale of importance these things, on a scale of your priorities of these things? I am strongly resolved to become comfortably wealthy, and I'm in a hurry to get that way. Where would you be on that scale? There's nothing wrong with being comfortably wealthy, but what is the priority of life? I am strongly resolved to become mature as a Christian, and I'm in a hurry to get that way. Where would that be on the scale, and how does that compare with the things of this life? I am content with my financial position. Why? I am content with my spiritual condition. Why? My time and conversation and dreams are spent chiefly on earthly projects. Or are my time and conversation and dreams spent chiefly on spiritual projects? When I'm in trouble, I trust in my money to see me through. In times of trouble, I put my soul in the hands of God to see me through. What makes me feel more secure? The money that I've accumulated in my bank, or the love of God that I put my confidence in? If we have the right priorities, we will be less prone to anxiety. And so, let me just close with this. What if we had it all? What if we had all of the house that we ever dreamed of? What if we had the best food that we could ever have? What if we had the nicest clothes that we ever had? Would that stop us from anxiety? What Jesus wants us to do is look at putting our trust in God, and that will alleviate the level of our anxiety. So we close out with the last few verses here, verse 31 through 34. Jesus says, "Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches or moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Let us have our hearts centered on the Lord, and we will find ourselves lowering our level of anxiety. It's wonderful that the Lord gives us practical ways that we can deal with life, struggles that we have. If you're not a Christian in the audience, the first thing that we can do to alleviate a lot of the anxiety of our life is to give ourselves to the Lord, to be born again into His family, to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And if you're not a Christian, We'd encourage you tonight to become a Christian, to begin this life of service of the Lord. If you are one and have gone back, been distracted by this life, and need to come back to the Lord, we would encourage you as well to come while we stand and sing.